Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
A lot of you tweeting in. Here as I'm reading. Yeah, and a lot of you sent me a lot of your thoughts over the weekend, and I appreciate that. You can tweet me at Kevin Sheehan DC. A lot of you still stuck on the Washington might have the worst defense in the NFC East. Oh my God, that triggered so many of you. Woo! Get over yourself. Look at the players on all of the rosters in the NFC East on defense and tell me that you're convinced that Washington's like got a top-tier NFC East defense. Who's going to play linebacker? You really confident in that secondary? They've gotten worse, people. All right? Where they may have gotten better, and we're all hoping they got better, is at the most important position on the field, and that's at quarterback. And they may have added another significant playmaker to the mix. And that's where I want to move in the direction of. So on Friday, I had a conversation with somebody who shared with me kind of what the feeling is about the team. I think I said last week, Brendan, to you or maybe to a caller, or it could have been the week before, that there's very, very high kind of positivity, optimism, if not giddiness over what they are going to be offensively next year. There's a real belief in that building that they are going to be unstoppable on offense, that they finally have a quarterback that can make every single throw, that can get the ball out quickly, that can run a professional offense the way they want it run. I am sure that they do have some of the same concerns that any normal person would have after this player, Carson Wentz, was run out of two straight buildings. Regardless of who did the running out, two straight teams invested heavily and then decided, nah, not for us. But they believe, and when I say they, I'm talking about Ron Rivera and Scott Turner and the offensive coaches and even the defensive coaches have an understanding of what Washington can be offensively in 2022. There's a belief in that building that they've got a 13-win offense. That this team can win 12, 13 games just with how dynamic, how productive, how uncheckable their offense is going to be in 2022. There is a significant belief in Scott Turner to scheme it up. I've been a Scott Turner fan since, you know, 2020, mid-season maybe. We didn't know what we were getting in that offensive coordinator. Many people would have preferred Ron Rivera to have kept Kevin O'Connell, who's now a head coach in Minnesota. And let me just take one quick second to digress on Kevin O'Connell, because there was a call last week, and I forget who made the call. But somebody said to me over the weekend they really should have kept O'Connell because O'Connell would have been the next head coach. Kevin O'Connell of, let me just be clear on this, of Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, all of them that have gone on. You can ask almost anybody that was in that building. They would have said that Kevin O'Connell was the least likely. Kevin O'Connell was hired by Sean McVay. With Matt Stafford coming in, they win a Super Bowl. That's why he's a head coach. Kevin O'Connell was not on anybody's short list before the season started. I'm not saying Kevin O'Connell won't be a really good head coach in Minnesota. I'm just saying that no one was even talking about Kevin O'Connell as a full-time offensive coordinator in 2019. So it's a matter of, like, you know, timing and circumstance. When you are the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl winning team and it's a really dynamic offense, courtesy of Matt Stafford replacing Jared Goff and a couple of other things like the addition of OBJ after the trade deadline, etc., you're going to get a lot of action. Scott Turner could get a ton of action next offseason if Washington has the kind of offense that they believe they're going to have. There is real belief in that building. You know, a year ago, Ron Rivera was a little bit more careful in the steps and the words he took and used in public. In fact, if you recall, before the season ever started, I remember before the opener having him on this show, and I said, what are you excited about? What are you concerned about? And I forget specifically what he said he was excited about. I think he was excited about what Ryan Fitzpatrick could provide at the quarterback position. And he was excited about a few players in particular. But he had a warning. He said, we have to make sure that we handle last year with maturity. That we understand what last year was. Which we all understand what 2020 was. A 7-9 division winning season. They were 7-9. They beat up on a bunch of backup and third string quarterbacks on the way to 7-9, and the rest of the division was hideous. And then they got Philadelphia in mid-game in the season finale to tank the fourth quarter by putting Nate Sudfeld in. Again, let me repeat for those that have never heard it. I still think there was a chance Washington wins the game with Jalen Hurts in there. I do. I think Washington actually played a pretty good, decent game. I thought Alex Smith was pretty decent that night. I think that they would have won the game, even if Hurts had stayed in and Howie Roseman and company hadn't called down to Doug Peterson to say, get Hurts out, get Sudfeld in. We can move up five spots to number six overall if we lose this game, or whatever the number of spots they were going to move up. I think it was five, Brendan, something like that. So Rivera did give out kind of a warning before the season last year. There were some concerns about the maturity, and the concerns were clearly the maturity on defense, because that's what we heard early on in the season more than anything else. Adhering to the scheme, doing the job, you know, playing your responsibilities. You know, there is a lack of maturity. He used that word. So he had some reservations about what he had heading into 2021, which he shared publicly. I'm not saying that he was doom and gloom, because he wasn't that either. Not this offseason. This offseason is, forget about the past, we're really building something, this all-important third year. And they have been very bullish about what they're going to be next year. They are telegraphing to everybody, if we suck this year, it's on me. It's on us. Because we have the talent. And where they believe they have the talent is on offense. They think they have a 13-win offense. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win 13 games, because there is the other side of the ball. But I think they feel pretty confident about the other side of the ball. I think Jack Del Rio has said that here recently. He retweeted some comment about, you know, the defense. He talked in terms of much better commitment here in this offseason than last year, when he alluded to the fact that some secondary members missed some of those phase two activities last spring. I think he thinks that this is going to be a better defense. They lost depth along the defensive front, but they do hopefully get back a healthy Chase Young. You know, Montez Sweat, Daron Payne, John Allen coming into really the prime of his career as a great player already. Big questions about linebacker. Big questions about the way they played last year using Landon Collins in that hybrid Buffalo nickel position. Who's going to do that? Some secondary concerns, I would think. But they believe that they have weapons. Gibson, McKissick, Robinson Jr. They love Turner. Love Cole Turner. Logan Thomas, I think there are some concerns about him being back and healthy and ready to go. We saw that they moved AGG to tight end. That's really a last salvo, I was told, to keep a guy who they do think has some talent and some size on the roster, and also a bit of a need move because there are some concerns about Logan being ready for training camp. They love Logan Thomas. I've told you that before. There is a belief Logan Thomas is, you know, one of the things they found. Their tight ends coach found him. Their tight ends coach believed in him. Scott Turner now believes in him big time. They also, I told you this last year, and I'm telling you this again on May 23rd, 2022. They think with a real quarterback, Diami Brown is going to be a big-time threat for them. The only issue is not if they have enough weapons, but whether or not, you know, Scott Turner has enough balls. I'm talking about actual footballs, not kahunas, to make it work. He's got a lot of footballs to spread around to McLaurin, to Dotson, to Samuel, to Diami Brown, to Logan Thomas, to Cole Turner, to J.D. McKissick. There's no doubt that they drafted Brian Robinson because they are a little bit down on Antonio Gibson. There's no doubt in my mind after this conversation I had on Friday that they like Antonio. They think Antonio is a good player, but there are some concerns about yards left on the field, the fumbling issue, and whether or not his body can endure the pounding that they put on him last year, especially during that four-game run when he was outstanding during that four-game win streak. They are really inside that building. They believe they are going to shock the world in 2022. That offensively, they're going to be elite offensively, and that is going to carry them to a big season against all the people that are naysaying it. And I saw and I read very early this morning Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback. He did his own power rankings. He's got Washington 26th. I saw something else over the weekend that had Washington 25th. They are absolutely sure that they are going to prove all of the pundits, all of the predictors wrong, and that this is going to be a division-winning, double-digit-winning team that is led by their offense. It would be critical for them to pull this off. You know, they could be talking themselves into it because they know how important it is. They know how important it is for them to get off to a big-time start. They know how important it is to get fans back in the stadium so that they have a home field advantage. But they feel so good about their team. I haven't heard this coming out of that building except for the occasional quotes that we've had. You know, the over-promising, we're going to win the division, we've got the best offensive line, Hogs 2.0, you know, all the stuff that we've heard, you know, over the years. But there is a private, we've heard it publicly, that you can tell that they believe that they've got something this year. But behind the scenes, they are talking about a big-time offensive-led, double-digit winning season that will shock a lot of people. There's also a belief, by the way, internally, that the rest of the NFL recognizes this. Yeah, what you guys think isn't what the rest of the league thinks. The rest of the league knows what we have. They know what we have, especially on offense. We are going to be very, very difficult to cover. We are going to be very dynamic. We are going to have skill. We have surrounded this guy, Wentz, with as good a playmaking group as any in the NFL. I've said this, you know, even before having this conversation on Friday, that while I said what I said last week about its defense, offensively, you can put their playmakers up against anybody in the division. I would put it right there with Philly's, ahead of Dallas and New York's. You have to. If you believe in Dotson, which I do as a player, and you know, I had Santana Moss on the podcast on Friday. I mean, Moss, you know, kept reminding me, don't forget, Curtis Samuel may be the best playmaker on the team. He's got to be healthy. But if he does what he did in Carolina, and you've got McLaurin out there and Dotson out there, and I know they like De'Ami Brown, and they think De'Ami's going to be a big part of this, and McKissick, who they desperately wanted back, even though it kind of went weirdly in terms of the re-signing of McKissick, and what they think Logan Thomas can be on third and six or in the red zone. They like their offensive line. They think that will hold up. They think it's well coached, which I agree with. I do think they could be really good on offense. It'll come down to the quarterback, their biggest offseason move. They had to get that right. All right, let's go with a little open phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. If you want to weigh in on the Jarrett Bell Snyder story, with all of the quotes from owners, even if they were on the condition of anonymity, have at it. Or do you think that this Washington offense is a 13-win offense in 2022? Doesn't mean the team will win 13 wins, but that it is potentially an elite offensive team. Because I believe they believe that to be true. Do you agree or disagree? Why or why not? 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From Sabah via direct message on Twitter. Kevin, when I told you if Wentz doesn't win 13 games with much easier schedule than Heinicke, and with all of these added weapons and healthy Thomas, Samuel, JDM, that would be JD McKissick, it would be an epic failure. You said I was crazy. I don't remember any of the conversations I have with Sabah, but I'm not saying that they're going to win 13 games. I'm telling you that they believe they have a 13-win offense, that they are really, really confident in how good they are going to be offensively. I'm just telling you that epic failure, that if they don't win 13 games, I said you were crazy. Yes, it would not be an epic failure if they don't win 13 games. If I said that, I meant that. Now, if they don't improve significantly on offense, then the trade for Wentz was an epic failure. Yes, that's true, because he's going to have, at least right now, you know, barring any major injury bug again on offense, he's going to have a hell of a lot more to work with. And we already documented last week, based on the Seth Walder predictive measures on next year's defenses, they're going to face 11 of the back half of the league defenses, including 30, 31, and 32. The 30th, 31st, and 32nd predicted ranked defenses in the NFL. So, yeah. If the offense isn't much, much better, then the trade was an epic failure. But if they don't win 13 games, I don't think that that would be an epic failure. I don't think they're going to win 13 games. The question, though, at 301-230-0980 is, do you believe what I'm 100% sure they believe internally? And that is, they've got a lethal offense that's capable of being a 13-win kind of offense. They're not guaranteeing 13 wins, and none of this was public. But they do believe very much in their offense next year. Brendan, right now, since we're stuck here over the last week and a half on NFC East predictions, where does Washington's offense rank in the NFC East heading into 2022?
Well, they don't have a 13-win quarterback, so I'm just going to say that. I would think they probably have the best offensive line in the division. They've got probably the second-best receiver group. If they have the best running back group, it's negligible compared to the Cowboys. I think Zeke and Pollard are a better 1-2 than Gibson and McKissick. They probably have the best tight end group, but they don't have the best tight end. They just have a deeper...
You think Goddard's the best tight end?
Yeah, Goddard's the best tight end in the
division.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
And then wide receivers, it's kind of tough because I don't think they have the best wide receiver in the division, but they might have the best group. So all that's to say, they probably have the second best offense in the division. I think the Cowboys are probably just a little bit better. The Eagles are close. I just don't know if their depth is as good as Washington's.
I think Washington, take away the quarterback, which you can't if you're going to rank offenses. Quarterback's the most important thing. But I think if you just for a second took away the quarterback, I think Washington's skill position players and offensive line would equal, you know, perhaps the best tied with Philadelphia. But you've got to include the quarterback, and right now, Dak Prescott is the most proven of NFL quarterbacks in the division and probably is the best quarterback in the division, which puts Dallas at the top along with Philadelphia and Washington being right there in the mix. I mean, there isn't that much difference between Washington, Dallas, and New York. The big issue, of course, is what is Carson Wentz in 2022? If he plays at the highest levels that he's played at previously, Washington could be the best offense in the division, because I do think you could make the case that what surrounds Carson Wentz is better than anything that surrounds Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts. But I'm just gonna say, look, I think you can make the case that their defense is the worst on paper heading into next year. Offensively, I think you can make the case that it is in the conversation and almost kind of a three-way tie, but I'd give Dallas the nod because of the quarterback and the offensive line. And we'll see, you know, what they are without Cedric Wilson and really Amari Cooper. And in year two. Year three, actually, of Mike McCarthy. If you were forcing me to rank offenses, I'd go Philly 1, Dallas 2, Washington 3, the Giants 4. But there's so much that's super tight between Dallas, Philly, and Washington. And for Washington and Philly, it comes down to quarterback play, period. Because they probably have the best supporting cast around their quarterback of any team in the division. All right, 301-230-0980. I'll also allow any sort of comments you guys have on the Jarrett Bell USA Today story, which had one owner saying, we're counting votes on the potential ouster of Snyder. Look, that could make this week's what are typically very benign owner meetings. This is, as Peter King put it this morning, the JV meetings for the owners. It could liven things up this week if a big part of the conversation ends up being about Dan Snyder. Jarrett Bell, we're hoping, will join us at 8 a.m. So you can weigh in on that. But the primary question is here is, do you believe that Washington has an elite 13-win kind of offense? 301-230-0980. Doesn't mean they're going to win 13 games, but do you think their offense is good enough to be a part of a 13-win team? Let's start with Terrence in Laurel. Terrence, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, can you hear me?
I got you, Terrence.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm well. Go ahead.
So right off the bat, hell no, I do not believe we are a 13-win offense, even close. In my mind, to do that, you've got to be somewhere in the top five, maybe top 10 of all the major categories in terms of offensively. And last year, we were nowhere near that, particularly in passing. I think we averaged like 200-some yards a game passing. You know, we were maybe top 15 running the ball, but no
major.
You
can't really take last year, right? They've got a completely different starting quarterback. I mean, last year, I just
say it, but my thought process, Kevin, is that even with the upgrades that we've made or some of the things we're thinking, like, you know, we're thinking we're going to have a healthy Samuels. You know, can we really count on that? I don't think so. I mean, what have we learned that has given us the confidence that he'll be healthy? You know, can we really count on our tight end coming back and continuing to kind of show what he showed, you know, early last year and what he could be? I mean, his injury was pretty significant. I don't really know. To me, there's a bunch of unknowns, I guess, at the point I'm making. You know, McClellan is a short thing. McKissick, obviously, is a great player. Gibson, you know, is a good player. But what else do we really have that are known commodities so far that we can say, you know what, we can definitely put our A's in this basket? I don't see it.
All right. I mean, to me, I like a lot of their playmakers. I really do. I love Terry McLaurin. Regardless of what we've said about where he ranks, he's still an excellent receiver and a true number one. I loved Dotson, the player. You know, we don't have to debate where he was picked anymore. He's on the team. He was a really good player. I think he's going to be a really good player for them. And then if you get Curtis Samuel back completely healthy, he's a dynamic weapon that we never had a chance to see last year. You know, they believe in De'Ami Brown. They really believe that Logan Thomas was just missed in so many ways, especially for the quarterback they had last year. And they like their, you know, they certainly love McKissick, that's for sure. You know, in terms of, you know, true offensive, you know, greatness for next year, I mean, it's still Buffalo and it's still Kansas City. And it's still Tampa and the Rams and the Packers, even without Devontae Adams, right? I mean, the Packers aren't going to suck offensively. You'd still take their offense right now with Aaron Rodgers ahead of Washington's. The Chargers' offense should be really good. Who am I forgetting in the really good offensive cat? I mean, Cincinnati should be better in year two of Burrow with Chase. Washington, by the way, in that ranking that Seth Walter had of offenses, he had him 19th. You know, that's not terrible. That's approaching top half of the league. I think if Wentz has a better than average year, it's a top half of the league offense. I would buy that. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
Kevin, I confirmed this with Brendan. Outside of Carson Wentz, you have zero, I repeat, zero all-pro players on offense, zero Pro Bowlers. So for them to talk about 13 wins is not only delusional.
Was Andrew Norwell a Pro Bowler at some point? I'm just trying to think of who's been a Pro Bowler.
I don't think so, but if he is, the point is still there.
Was Carson Wentz not a
first-team All-Pro?
What'd you say, Brendan?
He was first team all pro in 2017, but has never been a Pro Bowler.
Okay, well, I'll take the first team all pro Pro Bowler.
Right. And then Carson Wentz.
I'm not saying
that
that's what he's going to be here. Obviously, he's dropped off here recently, but go ahead.
Right. And with Carson Wentz, of course he has been, but like everyone said, he's on his fourth team in 4 years. Like that just, or I'm sorry, third team in three years. And I just, you know, you talk about this all the time, going back a long ways of overpromising, under-delivering, and that cliche. I don't even understand how we're even getting here. Like, it's not like you got Devontae Adams or you got a top flight player that you can start talking about these things before it even happens. You don't have anybody that, I mean, Logan Thomas hasn't made a Pro Bowl. He's been on five teams. Like, what are we talking about?
Well,
you know,
he was a quarterback to begin with, wasn't he? I forget. Whatever it is.
Whatever.
I understand their optimism about Logan Thomas, the player. He just unfortunately missed a bunch of games last year.
But injuries are a part of sports. I mean, we can't ignore the injuries. And then the other part is, I think because Ron's talked about year three so much, that they're over-talking every single point. Like, we're going to be great here and great here.
Well, they haven't said we're going to be great here and great there. They haven't said that publicly, have they?
Jack Del Rio?
Del Rio retweeted some compliment about the defense, right? Was that it? I can't even remember now. All these things run together. But they're not doing what we've seen in the past with this organization.
I don't know about
I'm
that.
I'm just telling you I know how they're feeling inside that building. They really think they're going to be great on offense. And that's why it was so crucial after missing out on Russell Wilson that they get somebody that's ready to play now, because they feel they've got the supporting cast. You know, the Wentz was a little bit panicked, a little bit desperate, but it's also because they feel they're ready to be incredibly productive on offense. Go ahead, finish up. I want to get to some other calls, but go ahead. Finish your
Just
thoughts.
Compare Indy's offense, the entire structure, the offensive coordinator, the running back, the O-line, the receivers, to Washington. I mean, I'm not saying it's
Well, their receivers aren't
down
what Washington's was.
Sure, but they had an MVP running back, right?
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. So my point is, like, and it didn't work there with a better coaching staff. Like, I sometimes am like, can we take a break and just be objective between the two situations?
Look, I've been trying to be objective about the defense, and I'm trying to be objective about the offense. I don't care how many Pro Bowls or All Pros. If you look at their offensive skill position talent, I'm not saying that it's elite. I'm not saying it's 13 wins. I don't agree with that. But I think they have a very strong supporting cast, and now it relies on the quarterback and, to a certain degree, the offensive coordinator. They have a good enough offensive supporting cast that if the quarterback is better than average, should be a really good offensive football team.
You could say that for many teams.
I'd still take 10 offenses in front of this one, you know, without even thinking. Okay. And I ripped off a bunch of them already. But that's because of the quarterback, too.
Right,
thanks.
Of course.
Appreciate that. Chad, Billy, Jalen, Bobby, everybody else on hold, stay there. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you believe that the offense is elite heading into 2022, that they could be a 13-win elite offense? Because internally inside that building, they believe that they have a juggernaut of an offensive football team heading into next year, and that it's going to shock many. Also, any thoughts that you have on the Jarrett Bell story in USA Today on the owners now, quote, counting votes, closed quote, on the ouster of Snyder, you can have at that too. We're supposed to be joined by Jarrett Bell, who wrote that story at 8 a.m., our good friend Howard Gutman, who actually defended Eddie DeBartolo in his case many, many years ago, will be our guest at 8:30. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show and the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about BetMGM. They're the official sports betting partner of your Washington Nationals. They're welcoming you with a very special baseball offer. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on the Nats, and you'll receive $200 in free bets when you use my bonus code, KevinS200. Enjoy baseball season like never before, and score a big win on your very first bet at BetMGM. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code, KevinS200, to receive $200 in free bets when you just bet $10 on the Nats. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Virginia and D.C. only. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From Mike on Twitter, if they believe this much in their offense, why aren't they all in this year? I.e. signing guys like Bradbury to maximize the defense. I think the offense will be better, but Wentz is an upper limit. Is an upper limit to their offense, probably ranking in the teens in both offense and defense. Yeah, I mean, the Bradberry thing, you know, could be a money thing, could have been a Bradberry choice thing, could have been a Washington choice thing. But remember, you know, the reporting from Ben Standing that they're probably not going to sign Daron Payne at the end of this year, you know, that's sort of an all-in for this year. The drafting of Phil Mathis at a spot in which most thought it was a bit aggressive, but because he's older, seasoned, and ready to play, same thing with a lot of their picks, is kind of an all-in this year indication. So, you know, I hear you on Bradberry, and, you know, just the inactivity and free agency overall. But remember, they were active in the offseason with the commitment and the trade for Carson Wentz. You know, that was their offseason more than anything else. And so his performance really in this upcoming year with a lot of weaponry around him is going to determine ultimately whether or not they had a good offseason or not. Let me just, for housekeeping purposes, we're not sure we're going to get Jarrett Bell at 8. He's down at league meetings, and he's got multiple interviews apparently scheduled, so I don't know if that'll work out. But Howard Gutman will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll get Howard, who represented Eddie DeBartolo in his case, and Howard's been a big help over in recent years anyway on a lot of this league stuff related to Snyder. And Jarrett Bell wrote this, what I think was a pretty significant story on Saturday because it had so many quotes from owners in it. All right. In a conversation on Friday with somebody very much, let me just say, in the know, it would indicate that they are really, really excited about their team offensively. The Washington Commanders are. In their first season as the Commanders, they think they've got a very dynamic offense. They have upgraded significantly in their own minds at quarterback, and I think that's fair. They have upgraded at quarterback. And the addition of Dotson and the return of Samuel and potentially Logan Thomas from injury, and what a different style of quarterback, a different ability in their quarterback might mean for McLaurin and Deami Brown. They're excited. 13-win offense is what I was told. That's what they believe they have. Doesn't mean they believe they have a 13-win team, but they believe they have a very, very high end offense in the NFL. Do you agree with that or not? Let's get back to the phone lines. Let's go to Chad. Chad from Nashville. Chad, go ahead.
Hey, Chad. Kevin, thanks.
It's fine.
First off, whoever said that this year would be an epic failure if it wasn't 13 wins, that's just absurd. Last year was an epic failure. There was expectation. There is no expectation this year, okay? Obviously, look at all the rankings, okay? Now, I agree with them, actually. I don't know about 13 wins, but I actually agree with them, okay? You look at last year, for instance. All these receivers running open with their freaking hands wide open, and all these defense, all they got to say is, well, listen, all we got to do is make Heinicke beat us. Well, that's not going to happen. Okay, so now you add even more speed. This team has a lot of speed on offense. And with the offensive line being as good as it is, if you can get this ball down the field, not only is it going to, you know, help us score, but it's also going to open up the run game even more. Okay, I mean, listen, listening to Ian sometimes can be nauseating. I don't think anything make that dude happy. All right, but I 100% agree that, yes, their offense is going to be a top half of the league offense. I mean, I saw a ranking, Kevin, that said that average speed for our receivers is, like, top of the league. I mean, like, they're fast, okay? And you're right. Wentz can make every throw in the book. Heinicke couldn't, okay? And Deami Brown, you know, he was smoking, what's his name, from Dallas, that the cornerback, Diggs. He smoked him a few times, and the ball didn't even get to him, all right? So I don't understand why people are just like, no, I don't think so. I mean, if anything, the defense. Listen, if the defense doesn't play good this year, that's going to be another failure. But last year was the failure. This year is not going to be a failure. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it. No, I think they have a chance to be really good on offense. I do. You know, and your point is a point we made several times last year. I think Scott Turner's done a really good job of scheming people open, of really implementing game plans that are tailor-made for the opponent, but unfortunately not tailor-made necessarily for Taylor last year. So he's got somebody at quarterback for the first time that can make all the NFL throws that probably he feels, too, is more comfortable in just running an offense. No slight to Taylor Heinicke, Sabah. Guy's an incredible story. He's a legitimate backup in the NFL. Let's go to Jalen. Jalen's calling from Richmond. Jalen, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. So I believe, you know, that this offense is very capable of being a playoff offense. I don't believe that it's elite just yet. We have plenty of speed and versatility among our skill position players. We have enough to keep defenses off balance on a week-to-week basis. And I believe in Scott Turner's ability as a play caller to put it together. And this year specifically, if we were to be an elite offense, I think it's going to depend on two things. Number one, the offensive line. You know, John Masco, what he has done with that group up front, I think if they can come together and really, you know, solidify themselves along with the backfield, I think the addition of Brian Robinson combined with Antonio Gibson is going to be huge. You know, just adding another asset to the backfield, somebody who we can depend on to close games. We need to have, you know, better ball security back there. So I just think if we can get our running game going and that offensive line can move people off of the ball, I think that's what's really going to set ourselves apart this year. I mean, we look at ourselves defensively. We're not really, you know, strong as we originally thought last year. So I think controlling time of possession and controlling the ball, keeping our defense off of the field, that is the recipe for success. And I think if we can really, you know, do that at a high level, that will really set us apart, and we can, you know, definitely see ourselves in double-digit wins this season if, in fact, that was to come together. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Burgundy and Gold.
Yeah, remember, you know, in that stretch of four wins, they had like a 2-1 time of possession advantage over Tampa. I'm pretty sure it was like 2-1. It was pretty much a significant time of possession advantage in all four of those wins, which obviously made the defensive results even better. I'm looking through. I want to look through this real quickly. Let's go to Bobby. Bobby, go ahead. I can listen and also look up that four-game stretch where defensively the results were good, but it's in part because they weren't on the field very much. Go ahead, Bobby.
Morning, my there? Friend. Kevin, yeah, I love the optimism. Yeah, I'm here. You got me?
Got you.
I love the optimism coming out of park. I love the optimism coming out of the park, Kevin. I really do. I do feel like it's a playoff team offensively. When we go three wide and go empty, Kevin, we've got mismatches on the field. We have a quarterback capable of getting the ball to the guy that's wide open. You know, I listened to your podcast Friday and you had Tana on. He's kind of giddy about the team too, Kevin.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, you asked him a couple times, and I think he's bullish just like I am. It's going to come back to the same thing we've been talking about for months right now. The defense. And Kevin, he said something. You asked him about the if the best cornerback he ever went up against. He said Revis, but he also said people that play man coverage. Is there any way you can find out in your wisdom how much we played zone last year compared to man?
Yeah, Brendan, what was the number? It was like, wasn't it like 65-35 zone over man coverage last year?
I'd have to look that up. Don't remember.
I could have sworn we looked that up recently.
Kevin, we need to play more man. We got William Jackson is a man coverage corner. He's not a zone coverage, okay? And it goes back to your front four. You got four first-round picks. They got to whoop the tail of the person in front of them and get home. I mean, you can hear me say pressure.
You're breaking up, Bobby. Bobby, you're breaking up, but thanks for the call as always. You know, the man versus zone thing, I've talked about this many times before. First of all, you got to have the corners to play man, or it's a death wish. Number two, not every quarterback does it make sense to play man coverage against versus zone coverage. I mean, it may make more sense for them to play more zone coverage against Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, and Jalen Hurts in their first three games. I mean, you don't want to turn your back on Jalen Hurts, and you want to make Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff think a little bit more. I mean, it comes down to who you're facing and what you have. And this notion, I've said this many times, that somehow, you know, zone coverage, quarterbacks' eyes light up against zone coverage. That isn't necessarily true. Talk to any offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. It depends on your quarterback. It depends on your weapons. A lot of teams are in zone coverage a lot of the time because that's the defense, especially especially when you get into some zone coverages that quarterbacks struggle with the most. All right, Howard Gutman's going to join us. We'll get Howard's thoughts on the Jarrett Bell story from USA Today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.